So Tony Bennett, he did his 95th birthday at Radio City Music Hall. He performed with Lady Gaga.
A beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is. Okay. Yes and no.
Hmm.
I saw him a few years ago before the pandemic started that he performed with Billy Joel. When they announced that he was there and that he was going to perform, like, it was exciting because it's almost like my parents' era. It was, you know, so it was such a big deal.
Brings a bit of class and elegance to something. You feel like you're witnessing something timeless. Yeah, I understand.
My dad has like an autographed picture of him that hangs in his office. Like, he's a fan. So I was excited to see him. And like, I'm immediately texting my dad. I'm like, Daddy, you're never going to believe it. Tony Bennett's here, whatever. And he walks on the stage and he's clearly looks confused as to where he is.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a sad moment for me because I'm like, oh, like, this is terrible. And when he sang beautifully. But you could tell there was like a certain like disorientation about it.
Sure.
And, you know, he was 95 years old this month. So they just made an announcement. He was supposed to do a tour this fall. And his son has released his announcement saying that he has to retire. Doctor's orders. He can't go on stage anymore.
Sure.
And even though I was sad, I was like, it probably should have happened 5 years ago. Let's be honest.
Yeah, a lot of times people hang on for too long for whatever reason. I mean, I'm sure he still got joy in singing. Probably the thing that he felt the most comfortable doing at this point is singing and being on a stage. Right. But there's an awkward element to it, like you said. But I mean, we see this all the time from people, whether it's athletes, right? Or actors or actresses or comedians or politicians that hang around too long. All those things happen, right?
So what celebrities do you think should have retired already and they're just not ready to hang it up?
Well, I mean, I'm going to stay away from athletes largely because there's a lot of them. Coming to mind recently, Robert De Niro.
Mm.
Robert De Niro, it's bad. Like, he's not making really good films anymore. And it's been a while. And frankly, the films where he's more vulnerable at this point are more agreeable to me. They seem to make more sense, but he's not making enough of those. A lot of times he still wants to be the tough guy. Or maybe the director wants him to be. Whatever. I'm not going to place the blame. I know he's got a lot of bills to pay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he just keeps showing up. But
yeah.
Robert De Niro, man. I mean, when he kicked that guy that was down on the floor in The Irishman, it was like my grandpa rolling out there to kick a guy. And there was no part of me believed that that kick would have hurt somebody. When that's the case with Robert De Niro, it's time to hang it up.
That's how I feel about Madonna. And we talked about this earlier this week. She turned 63 years old this week. She's not old. But like, she hasn't really put out awesome music in my mind anyway. I'm sure there's people that would disagree with me in a really long time. And she keeps, instead of trying to like adapt into this different genre of music, she just keeps trying to be 22 again.
Well, she wants to continue to set the trend.
Yeah.
You know, like, she would reinvent everything for a while there before, and now it's not like that anymore. This will be a little bit hurtful, and I don't think that's a victim of his talent because he's super young and he's got big things ahead of him still. But Jimmy Fallon, like,
yes,
it was such a big show. You remember how popular the show was. And I love the Tonight. It's a good show. It's a great show. But he kind of got like run over by how everything went, like, I don't know, politics or more newsy or whatever. He got run over by Stephen Colbert. He got run over by him.
I don't want to talk about controversial. You know who needs to hang it up and, you know, says that they're going to return to comedy? And I'm like, nobody wants to see you on a stage.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Bill Cosby. Like, dude, it's over.
Oh, that one's obvious.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
no.
I thought you were
going to
say somebody else.
No one is coming to see you. And it has nothing to do with your age. It has a lot to do with everything else.
Boy, I thought you were going to say five other names. And then I would have been like, that's surprising. No, there's no shock there.
Right.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven decides which one it is. Raven, three options today. Ready? UFC fighter stops man from stealing his car.
Nice.
Kids heartbroken after their little free library stolen from child care center.
Boo!
I mean, have some sympathy for their children.
I was crying with them. I was commiserating with them.
Okay, and their books
Third
are
story,
stolen.
Please.
Skeleton found in Pompeii is so well preserved it has hair.
I'm good with Pompeii. No, let's go with UFC. I love a little bit of vengeance being doled out. What do you got?
So UFC fighter Jordan Williams was not having it when a man tried to steal his car when he went inside a Denver gas station. Now, here's the thing. He believes that he was targeted and they went after his car because he was wearing a fanny pack and they thought he would be weak. But
I'm guessing they probably just liked his car, but okay.
Here's Jordan on his instant justice.
So I run up, and the guy, he's backing away. He's looking at me like, this is happening. Gotcha car. Like, no remorse at all. But the only reason he wasn't able to go is because he didn't know how to work the parking brake. So I was literally, like, seconds away from losing my car.
So he couldn't figure out how to work the parking brake, couldn't get the car and drive to go.
Yeah.
Targeted him because he was wearing a fanny pack. So what does he do, the UFC fighter?
Punched the guy a couple of times. At that point, he was saying he's sorry.
Yeah. When you start getting hit by a professional fighter, yeah, you immediately know that you made a bad decision.
Punched the guy a couple of times.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, I just punched him a couple of times.
I don't know. The video I saw some knees being hit, too, on that head as he pulled the guy out of the car. So it might have been a little bit more than that.
Then he continues and says,
I wish I was able to apprehend him and, like, you know, not to do more damage, but, you know, just to control the scene, make sure that he's not out there doing the same thing.
He's like, I wanted to defeat him more for the benefit of the planet.
I wasn't going to do more damage.
Punched the guy a couple of times.
I got it. Right. But my favorite part of this whole story was that he believes that he was targeted, and you know, unfairly so, since he's a UFC fighter, because he was wearing a fanny pack. Now, if you see somebody wearing a piece of clothing, what would you automatically assume that person is weak if they're wearing that piece of clothing?
Top of my head, muumuu or a bathrobe. I'm going to assume that they might not be weak, but they're just casual. They're very leisurely. All right.
If you see a guy walking through Walmart wearing a robe, I'm going to tell you just to back away slowly.
No, I don't think that
not
guy
weak.
Wants to fight.
No. Nope.
Capri pants, you know, like those 3/4 pants, because you're in a leisurely mood. Again, you're just, you know, you're relaxing. You're looking forward to good weather. Crocs. If you're wearing Crocs, I don't think you're tough. All right.
Well, I don't think you're probably tough. You just can't run fast.
I'm just saying, I don't think you're tough. And if you're wearing anything yellow, I don't think that you're looking for a fight. I just think that you're in a great mood. Yellow's really, you know, like, you're feeling good. You're feeling nice that day. So you're not looking for a fight.
I agree with Crocs. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with yellow. I feel like yellow
You feel
says,
like there's been some angry yellow out there?
What if you're wearing a yellow fanny pack? Then what?
What if you're wearing a yellow bathrobe with Crocs?
That person is definitely going to flash you. Definitely that's going to happen.
But they might not want to fight.
No. I need you to help me out. My husband thinks this is completely normal that he does this when we go out to dinner with other couples and our friends. And I find it so, one, disgusting, and two, embarrassing. And he doesn't think so at all. And I'm not sure if I'm being a nagging wife or not. All right, here's a conversation we had last night.
There's something that you do often whenever we're out with friends that drives me crazy.
What do I do that drives you crazy when we're out with people?
You always ask to try their food. You always ask, and then they always have to cut a piece of their food and put it on a plate and give it to you. And I think that it's weird that you eat, like, people's food.
Well, when they offer, that's not me asking, that's them offering. So I have to accept and be cordial.
But if you say, oh, wow, that looks good, what do you think they're going to do? They feel like they have to offer you a piece.
I like to taste a lot of food.
He eats people's food when we go out with them. Like, he always would be like, oh, is it good? Does it look good? And then, of course, like, you know, people always automatically say, would you like to try it?
Yeah, because they feel like nobody will ever say yes.
Paul says yes every single time.
Yeah.
And then there's the, oh, let me get a side plate. And then they have to, like, they haven't even tasted their food yet. They've taken, like, maybe a bite, and they have to cut a section of whatever they're eating, put it on a plate, and give it to Paul. And he will go so far. Is at the end, if there's more?
Yeah.
You're going to finish that?
You're going to wrap that up? I thought it was pretty good.
I was like, you can't eat off of people's plates. Like, you can't ask people to try their food.
I love the idea of people cutting off pieces of their food for him like he's 7 years old.
All the time.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's no time where this is okay unless you're, like, dating somebody, right? There's no situation that you want to share your food with somebody unless you're first dating. It's like a courtship thing because there's a little bit of a sensuality to that. To changing it. All right. Or they treat you like a child again.
He doesn't think it's a big deal. There's been, like, plenty of times where we go out with, I mean, it's one thing if it's our best friends that we're with all the time, you're grabbing fries off their plate or whatever that is.
Still,
you
don't
know?
Touch my fries, but okay. I understand that that's a different situation.
But we've been out with, like, couples that I would call them, like, C-level couples. Like, you don't really know them all that well.
I wouldn't call them C-level couples out loud. What I would say is that you don't see them all that often.
Well,
that's what
I mean.
What I would
They're
say.
Not like people that you're with all the time.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them C-level people.
Well, now you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I just don't want you to offend people that, you know, you might be talking about.
Well, people that we don't see all that often.
Right.
These are people that you still have to, like, Like, you have to put on, like, a pair of jeans when you see them. You can't go out with them in your sweatpants.
See that?
You know?
They may be C-level individuals, but you still have to dress up for them. Right.
And he will do it to them. He will ask them, like, to try their food. He'll be like, oh, is that good? Oh, like, let me get a piece of that. Let me get a piece of that. And, like, it's not even like a steak sometimes. Sometimes it's like a burger. Like, who wants to cut a piece of a burger?
I can't even imagine. Right? I cannot even. I mean, I would call somebody out if they asked me, how is that? I'd be like, it's good. They'd be like, do you mind if I try it? I'd be like, of course I mind if you try it. It's a burger.
People are always giving it to him. And the question is, am I overreacting? 1-800-330-9999. Is it okay to try other people's food at your table when you go out to dinner with them? And I'm not talking about like your kids or your spouse, like the other people, friends and coworkers and things like that.
Yeah.
My husband does this all the time. He lays a trap. He goes, oh, that looks great. And the person will be like, a normal person would react. Oh, you want to try? Now, the average person will be like, no, I'm good.
Of course not.
Not my husband, Paul.
Just curious.
He'll be like, yeah, cut me a piece. And then he hands over his side plate. Here he is defending himself.
I like to taste a lot of food.
He likes to taste a lot of food, right? He thinks it's completely normal. We've been disagreeing about this.
The handing over of the side plate. Pretty forward. Pretty forward.
Do you think that he's wrong that he does that? Or is he right? Like, who cares? People offer. What's the big deal if he says yes? Hi, it's Yen on Raven.
It's very simple. I'd say, you know what? This is absolutely the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life. And when he says, do you mind if I try a piece? I would say, absolutely. Waiter, do me a favor. Can you give me another order of this? Because my friend here really wants to try it.
Except my friends are too nice and they always just give it to him. Mm. But then again, if you're put in that situation, what are you going to do? Like, are you really going to be like, call the waiter over? You're like, yeah, no, try some. Have a bite here.
Here's the thing. If somebody offered me a piece off their plate, I'm actually not going to accept it because it feels so forward and awkward for me to do it that I'm going to say, no, honestly,
yeah.
No.
That's like when you order a cocktail somewhere, a different cocktail, and they're like, oh, can I try your drink? Like, you say yes, but then you're like, really? You're going to try my drink?
Yeah, you're going to like spit my drink.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Get your mouth off my drink.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Is it gross to share food with people that you don't know that well?
Absolutely. There's no way my wife will allow me to do that.
See?
If you were just taking bites off of everybody's plate, what an awkward dinner party.
I mean, that's my life.
Yeah. I want to imagine the party that you're at, too, and he gets more than one piece from somebody, right? Like, three people give him a piece of something.
We go out to dinner with 10 people. He doesn't need to order dinner.
Right.
He just collects from
everybody's
plate.
He's got, like, an appetizer plate. Right. He's got a sampler.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Is it gross or no?
I think it's completely gross. I had an ex 2 years back that did the same thing, and it was a little cringy. It was weird.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. You think it's weird?
You know, I don't know. I think that people like really differ on this, but I personally love trying like all my options, even if that means that it's someone else's meal. So I say go for it. Like, variety is the spice of life. Like, that way you can try a bunch of different things. Like, I'm definitely like teaming with your husband.
So surprising.
Me too.
I don't want anybody's foreign fork on my plate. And here's the thing. If you're coming in with your fork, 100%, I'm pushing that food to the side of my plate for you to grab it in one shot.
Mm.
And because I want to act like it didn't happen. That's what I want to do. Is in my mind, I want to be like, nope, he didn't touch that with something that he had his mouth on.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Can you eat other people's food?
I don't know. It sounds like your husband's like a large-sized dog, like going around the room, you know. You ever been to somebody's house and there's like, they got a dog that can get his face like, up in your plate? Like, I don't know, man. That's off-putting.
It's like, an accurate picture.
It's a really good analogy,
it really
actually.
Is. It's like the dog that's just sitting on your feet waiting for a little bite until you finally give in and give them something under the table. That's
really
Paul.
Is.
But the dog knows how to use a fork.
Right.
Like, imagine if a dog could use a fork.
And he's imposing enough when he's asking you for your food.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a dog bully in the house. Yeah.
Right. It's a persuasive dog that can use a fork.
Right.
My husband asked me what I wanted for my birthday. It's coming up next week.
Mm.
And I told him that it was a perfect time to ask because it just went on the market. I want him to buy me the plot next to Marilyn Monroe. It's for sale for $2 million.
I mean, it seems like a bargain.
Oh,
right?
Is it?
To be married 3,000 miles away from your family and friends, to be next to that starlet of the ages, I guess.
Oh my gosh. So obviously I'm joking. I don't have $2 million. Do I really want it? Yes. If you want to buy it for me, I would love it.
Let's start a GoFundMe.
I used to be one of those people. I guess I still am. I think once you're a Marilyn Monroe fan, you always are, where I collect all her stuff. I've always been obsessed. I've read every book. I've watched every documentary. And I remember on my honeymoon, we were in LA. And the reason why we went to LA was I wanted to visit Marilyn Monroe's grave.
That's why you went to Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was part of it. 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That and because we had landed spots on The Price is Right. That's another story for another time.
Right.
But we went, and it's really hard to find. It's called the Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park. And you would think that like a place where people like Marilyn Monroe and Dean Martin and all these famous people are buried, it would be really easy to find. It took us, this is pre, like, Waze times. It took us, like, 6 hours to find this place.
I want you to just, it's because it's a cemetery. That's why they would make it more difficult for people to find, because it's, you know, they don't necessarily want the TMZ bus driving by it every 5 minutes,
well,
I would guess.
If you have ever been there, it's interesting because you almost have to go like down a side street alleyway, and then it's behind buildings. It's very weird where they put this cemetery, in my mind anyway. It took us forever to find it.
Sure.
But you go there, and then there's Marilyn Monroe, and buried right next to her is now Hugh Hefner.
Okay.
And this is where a lot of celebrities are buried. And I remember just sitting there and, like, staring at her crypt, and, like, there's such a feeling about it, like, for me anyway, being able to like, see that and know that that's her final resting place.
Sure.
So the fact that the crypt next to them, next to Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe, is now for sale for $2 million is crazy to me.
Feels like a bargain. I mean, how can it be there? How can it be available?
Yeah. I don't know. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, if you could be buried, I mean, take away your children and your spouse or your significant other or your
the
parents.
The sadness of it. Well, right. Take apart all those things.
Like,
right.
Forget them. You don't want to be buried next to them. They're cool. If you could be buried next to any celebrity, who would it be?
I want to go with one of those ones that they think is like on an island somewhere with the rest of the celebrities who just disappeared. So it's probably a toss up for me between like Elvis and like Tupac.
You know what I mean?
People that they believe that are like, oh, no, man, he faked it. He faked it. He's actually over there.
Yeah, but we're relatively okay.
But, you know, that same island where, you know, supposedly Sinatra and Elvis and everybody is, you know, and maybe Biggie and Tupac, too. They're all there.
So you want to be buried on that fake island?
No, next to any one of those guys.
Yeah.
And that way I'll see their comings and goings, and then I'll just follow them to said island, you know?
All right.
You know, it's kind of my pathway to the afterlife.
How about
you? I mean, besides Marilyn Monroe, do you have another choice?
No, that's why I told you. That was it. $2 million. If you want to get me a birthday present, Raven, you're also open to buy this for me.
Oh, well, I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah. It's an exercise that's supposed to strengthen your marriage. But does it actually work? A relationship expert says that for every one complaint you have in your relationship, you should be able to name 5 positive things about your partner to keep yourself in the right, get yourself in check. Like, okay, the one bad thing, but here's 5 things that are awesome.
Okay, so like it's like counting to 10 almost in your brain, but only with 5 and making sure that you still love the person you're with. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, it's called the 5-to-1 ratio. So for every one thing that's wrong with the relationship, you should be able to name at least 5 things that are good about that person to keep you happy and to kind of just put yourself in check.
Isn't love great?
Yeah, in theory, this idea is awesome.
Sounds very sweet, right?
Let's start with your wife, Alicia. So the first thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to ask, what's a challenge? What is something that I do that annoys you or you would find to be a quote-unquote challenge?
It was a challenge asking her at bedtime, too, I'll tell you that, because she's at her most rosy then.
You never refill anything when it's empty or put it back where it belongs. Like the ice bin 5 minutes ago.
So mad about that.
So mad. I mean, because you'll suffer with no ice. You'll just let it go all the way down to 2 ice cubes.
There was ice.
There was a chunk that wouldn't even fit in a glass, and that's why you left it in there and used all the good ice around it.
All right, now that you've expressed that, tell me 5 things that I do that are awesome.
I mean, she's really mad about
the
ice.
I've told you time and time again how much we hate our refrigerator. And the ice machine is terrible. There's only 2 of us that live in the house. How can we be running out of ice every single day? So we always keep a bag of ice, like, in the freezer as well. Except the thing is that it doesn't fit in the regular fridge. So we leave it in the garage fridge and then we bring in, you know, different carriers of the ice to there. And she says that I'm always using all that ice without refilling it on purpose.
You'll suffer with no ice.
Is it really true you'll suffer with no ice?
Maybe. It might be true. Uh-huh. It might be true, but I mean, it still seems unnatural to be that angry about ice.
So at this point, now you ask her to name five nice things about you to counteract this, to strengthen your marriage.
Yeah, that should be easy, right?
Yep.
You brush Barkley's teeth so he doesn't bite me.
I brush the dog's teeth. Right. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You most of the time go pick up the takeout. That's awesome.
It is nice to have somebody that runs to pick up the takeout because you never feel like putting your bra back on to go out.
I do it in all the times that she feels the worst, too. Mm-hmm. We went out late the night before, right? Dancing or whatever, things like that. Yeah, I'll go get the takeout.
You're a great dog, Dad.
I mean, you already said I brushed the dog's teeth. That's a 2-for-1. That's cheating. 3 more.
Well, I mean, it can't be like, go to work and you take care of everybody. Like, of course that's... Well, because that's awesome. That's an obvious. No. I thought you meant, like, little things.
I mean, you need 2 more. And it's taken a long time to get here.
You clean the pool.
You clean the pool?
Yeah, I clean the pool.
That's a good thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Now you only need 1 more thing, right?
Right, just 1 more thing. Seems easy, right?
I'm going to run out of memory on my phone.
All right. I don't know, babe. I don't know what you... Put me on the spot.
That segment, by the way, was 6 minutes long.
Right.
And I never got the last one.
Never got the last thing you're
never
good
got
at.
The last one. Pretty sure I threw my phone down in disgust after that one.
All right. How'd it go with my husband? That's coming up next. So it's an exercise that's supposed to strengthen your marriage, but does it actually work? For every one thing your spouse does that drives you crazy, you're supposed to be able to name 5 things that are really positive about that person. Experts call it the 5-to-1 ratio, and it says it's the number one thing in successful relationships.
Yeah, my wife can only name 4.
Yep.
And some were questionable, but 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
You think so?
I don't know. I'll guess.
Yeah, so that happened a few minutes ago. Poor Alicia, put on the spot, could only get 4 nice things about Raymond.
Poor her. Poor me.
I know, it's true.
I'm the guy that's got to live with those answers.
Yep. So how did it go when I asked my husband? You're supposed to start by asking, what is something challenging about me? And here's what he said.
What's a challenge of being married to me?
The challenge of being married to you is that you are very driven to being right.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Me and Paul should play golf together or something.
Yeah. Oh, you think? Yeah. You think so?
We should do something together. I don't know what we're going to do together, but we should do something besides plot your end.
Now, clearly, he's uncomfortable with this situation because he knows it's all a trap.
It's a test.
It's a test. It's a trap.
The hole has been dug.
It's not going good. So then all he had to do, it's very easy. Name 5 great things about me, right? Mm. 5. You've been married to me for what, 16 years at this point?
Right.
Number 1, you're amazing. Personality.
Okay. Number 2.
Number 2. Number 2. Number 2. Number 2. Your amazing ability at planning.
He just kept repeating numbers.
He was stalling. He had to give himself a little bit of time.
But he would say, like, number 2. Number 2. Number. Number 2.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm a very good planner. All right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Number 3. Your kindness.
Number 4.
He said, like, he sounded like he said it through his teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, wait, listen to this pause between number 4. Here we go.
Number 4. Number 4. Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Your motherhoodness.
That's not even a real word.
He's ducking behind right now because the kid is running around. I can hear Dakota running around in the background.
Dakota's
so he's just like
screaming in the back.
Yeah. So now he's like, okay, I'm going to go with that. That's an easy choice.
Poor Hayden, my 12-year-old, is like trying to help him out. I'm like, Hayden, do not get involved. Do not cheat.
Just cringing.
Do not give your father answers. Go into the other room. He's like trying to get a lifeline with my 12-year-old daughter.
You got 4 so far, though. They're all right answers.
Yep.
What's number 5?
Number 5.
What?
Number 5. Number 5.
Yep. Okay.
Your overall drive in accomplishing things.
Okay.
I was done with the exercise at that point.
Yeah, number 5. Not, you know, the most romantic thing.
But I mean, it's true. It's like, what I do get stuff done. Like, that's my I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you got five.
I got five.
Yeah, you got five. You did one better than me. So
I guess we win. I don't know. Is this a competition? I don't know.
Somehow I feel like we all lost.
All lost here. Yeah, 100%.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you lie about your child's age so you don't have to pay for their admission to a theme park, that's all I need to know about you.
My gosh, I just had this argument over the weekend.
So which side are you on?
So you know me. I'm a rule follower.
Listen, man, if that kid's short, if that kid is short,
we went to a place that was under, if you were 2 years old or older, you had to pay admission, right? Okay. Dakota is two. So I said, she's two, we have to pay. And my cousin looked at me like I had grown horns out of my head. She's like, you say your child is 23 months old and that she's not two yet. And this became an issue, too, because when we booked Disney, she'll be three. She had turned three a month before we planned to go.
And it's the same rule at Disney?
And it's the same thing at Disney. And I'm like, no, she's going to be three, even if it's only by a month. And I'm going to pay because that's the rules.
But here's the stipulation, though. How much was the cost this past weekend? So if it's a $5 thing, it's a little type park or something local or whatever.
$21.99.
Wow. Okay. Maybe. I mean, if you felt it was worth it, Disney, here's the thing. You know, if you get your kid in at Disney, they're not going out of business. They're going to be fine. All right. The profit margins of what they're making on you being at Disney and what you're paying to stay there and all that stuff are already exorbitant.
But
so
it's not even just like the lying part of it, too. But it's also like I feel guilty and then I'm nervous. Like, are they going to call me out on it? Am I going to have to show proof of how old she is?
Five rides in. Are they going to track my baby down and say, well, through facial recognition, we see that she's actually over 2 years old?
I don't know. It scares me a little bit. And you know what else people do that bothers me to go hand in hand with this? I went to an amusement park where they had to be like a certain height.
Oh, yeah. Stand on your tippy toes.
Not even stand on the tippy toes, but I saw like some shoes that they had like sponges or some stuff inside. I was like, that is what if your kid flies out? Now you're responsible for hurting your child because you put like lifts in their shoes.
No, you know, you assume responsibility when you do that. That's your own risk versus reward ratio. This is different. I don't think the FBI is coming for you because you skipped the ticket price for your little one.
But we really don't know for sure.
That's true.
1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. What makes you irrationally mad? 1-800-330-9999. Last week, Twitter rolled out this new font. Yeah, I know. It's a font. But people were so mad about it, saying that they couldn't tell the difference between the follow and the unfollow button, and it was hard to read, and it's giving them a headache, and why would Twitter possibly do this? And the grand scheme of things, they were irrationally mad about it. Yeah. But I think there are some things that you just get so angry, and then like you look back and you're like, maybe that was a little bit too much, but it just drives you absolutely insane.
Yeah, you never know what that thing is going to be until it basically comes across your lap, right?
For me, I get irrationally mad when I have to call a customer service line and I can't talk to somebody, and then I keep hitting zero, thinking that it's going to get me to an operator, and then I just start yelling. I'm like, operator, operator.
I do the same thing.
Customer service. I'm sorry. Would you like to go back to the main menu? No, I don't want to go back. It's like, what do I have to do to talk to a human being? Like, my blood boils. Oh, I lose my mind.
Yeah.
What makes you irrationally mad, Raven?
Well, I would say the ice machine in my refrigerator. It just runs out. It runs out on all sorts of days where it doesn't make sense. First off, there's two people in the house that live in the house. Those are the only two people that live in the house, my wife and myself. And yeah, we get some ice in our drinks, but it's not like we're filling ice every moment of the day. You know, a refrigerator in modern times should be able to keep up with that sort of demand. And on the days where it just doesn't, and it's like 3 in the afternoon, I want to kick something.
You know what irrationally made me mad this morning?
What's up?
When this computer crashed for the 7,000th time.
Right.
Like, I was so mad that for 1 second, even though I'm normally a relatively calm person, I thought about picking it up and throwing it across the room.
Hurling it.
Like, just like hurling it and making, like, I was going crazy.
Yeah. You know, it makes me irrationally mad when I see my neighbor's trash cans out 2 days before trash is getting picked up or a day after it's already been picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's none of my business. What do I care if the trash can's at the end of the driveway? I'm not trying to park in front of your house. What does it matter? But I'm like, what are you doing? This is what's wrong with America. Get out there, you bum.
On our Facebook page, and if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven. John wrote, when there's traffic and people stop for no reason. Yep, that makes you irrationally mad.
Yeah.
Laura wrote, when shoppers leave their carts in the parking lot and don't return them.
Oh, yeah, they're all over the place.
Yep,
yeah, irrationally mad. This is just anarchy out here now. That's how we live.
So many people collectively lost their minds when Twitter changed the font. They were irrationally mad about it. The fact that they have to switch everything back.
I mean, it just seems crazy. It just seems crazy to me, right? It's just a font.
But for most things that you get irrationally mad about, they are kind of trivial, but they just get you so mad. What is that thing that makes you irrationally mad? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
When someone's making a left-hand turn and they don't hug the center line to allow people to scoop by on their right.
Oh, so they don't give you any space, despite the fact that they could probably, like, you know, get to the left side there and allow you to go around?
Yeah, I agree. That makes me absolutely crazy. And I just keep inching up on their behind, thinking they'll get the hint to move, and they don't.
Let me tell you what makes me even angrier is that the person that's on the light and you want to take a right-hand turn and they're going straight, and they're all the way over to the right-hand side, blocking everybody.
Mm.
I mean, because now I got to sit here through the whole light.
Yeah.
What are you, a barbarian? Oh, I hate you.
Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What makes you irrationally mad?
Well, I just wanted to call about the whole Twitter thing.
Yeah.
I can explain to you the easy reason why everybody was so mad. Because for years, people have been begging Twitter to add an edit button, edit tweet button. Once you send a tweet, you can only delete it. You can't edit it.
Right.
But they'll do everything else. They'll like change the color. They'll change the font. They'll add an extra character, but they won't add an edit button. And people have been begging them to do that.
Mm.
Right.
Thank you, sir, for the long explanation.
So mad.
It's irrational that you're mad. And you took the time to call us to tell us why. Because it's irrational. It's somebody else's thing, and that's how they made it. And I'm sorry.
Funny. Yeah.
Have a great
Thank
morning.
Thank you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What makes you irrationally mad?
When I get an email from someone that's like, reply urgently to this with something. And then you send them a reply and you get an automated out of office reply telling you that they're not going to respond to you.
Right. Mm. Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is a non-reply line or something like that. Don't BCC me. BCC. Right. That's it. Right. Don't BCC me, man. Don't do it.
Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you get irrationally mad about?
You know, when I'm in takeout lines, you know, going to have like a takeout window or something, and the person in front of me is waiting for their food, but they got like a portion of their food and they start eating some of their food. Like they just like they take out like a bun or something, you know, like they can't wait to get to the car.
What is the part of this that makes you angry? Because I get it. It sounds a little bit gross, to tell you the truth. Like, this is the pickup area. But,
right.
Like, what is the part of it that makes you angry? That's what I want to understand.
I don't, you know, I'm getting takeout for a reason, because I don't want to watch people eat.
You don't want to share that space.
You know, I just want to move, get my food, and head to the car. Maybe eat it in the car. You're 2 minutes away from feeding your face.
I'll be honest with you. If I'm waiting for something and you give me the fries while I'm waiting for anything else, I will eat the fries.
No, fries feels like an exception to me, though. I support your fries freedom. But the rest of these foods, I've got to agree, is that, you know what? You could probably wait till you got outside at the very least. Wow.
Chicken nugget.
Thank you for the call. Chicken nugget, also a cousin of the fry, kind of. So, I don't know.
I feel like anything that has to, if you can pop the whole thing in your mouth in once, it doesn't count.
Oh, then it's no, fine. No. That's a lot of different things.
Mozzarella stick.
I mean, I can get my mouth pretty wide open and I can shove a piece of food in there or smash it down and make it fit.
What makes you irrationally mad? Head to our Facebook page. Let us know there. And if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Joan and Thomas. Joan, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, listen, I cannot stop Thomas from bringing cash
everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. It is obnoxious. We are living in the digital age where people have Apple Pay and credit cards, and he's still handling disgusting cash money.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like handling it. Like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, a certain amount of money. I keep a certain amount of cash on me all the time.
Yeah, but why do we do that anymore? I don't understand it. I understand having like $4 or $5, but he carries hundreds of dollars in cash on him, right? Like, to pay for everything. And it's crazy to me, considering that you don't need to be carrying around that much cash on you. It's unsafe, first off, because what if somebody just, like, takes your money, robs you? There goes your money. You don't have it. If it's on a card, you can call the card and cancel it.
Thomas, what's your obsession with paying with cash?
Cash is king. Look, you can go anywhere in the world with American dollars. If you have dollars on you, anywhere will take it. They're not going to necessarily take a credit card.
You can go anywhere in the world with MasterCard. You can go anywhere the world with Discover. Yes, you can. These are all international.
No way. If your car breaks down somewhere and you need something quick, need somebody, you can offer them $20 and they'll help you out. You know, there's always room to have cash. And I don't like to have all my stuff online. Why can't I just have money in my pocket? What is the problem?
Hold on, Thomas, can you give me some examples of when you would pay for cash versus using a card?
Dinner, fast food, movies.
In cash at Costco.
Look, okay. My identity got stolen. This was a really big problem, and now I'm not going to deal with that anymore.
Your car breaks down. They tell you it's $1,700 to fix it. How do you pay?
He will go to the bank and get cash. He goes to the bank. Yeah. Wow. He'll go and get cash. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting to me. I was before trying to think of what the repair would be for $20, and I couldn't come up with anything in this half of a century. But that sounds like a lot, right? I mean, I wouldn't typically, like, even if I'm carrying cash, and I typically carry more than some, I would suppose, but I'm not carrying $1,700 typically.
You need an air fryer. So now you just happen to stumble upon an air fryer, and it's on sale for $147. You pay cash?
If I had it on me, I don't necessarily carry all this cash around with me all the time. I always carry some cash, but for these bigger ticket items, I'm not carrying all this cash around with me. I'm carrying it from point A to the store and then walking out with my goods.
So you come across the air fryer and you go and you get the cash out of the bank and you return.
Maybe he doesn't love the air fryer so much. Maybe he just disregards the air fryer purchase now because he doesn't have the cash.
Okay, forget the air fryer. It's something you really want. So you'll leave and go get the cash from the bank and go back and pay for it versus just using a card.
You're at dinner with four of your friends. Everybody pulls out their card and says, let's split it. And you say, I've got cash.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an evil person.
Okay.
She might be right.
Let's see whose side you're on. Maybe you agree with Thomas. If he can pay cash and he can protect his identity and he can somehow survive like this, then go ahead, go for it. But they may see Joan's side too, that it's outdated and he needs to figure out how to use cards responsibly.
I mean, I would just think that that's ruining your credit too. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
They say cash is king, but is that really true anymore? Joan is upset that her husband, Thomas, refuses to use anything but cash on every purchase that he makes.
Yeah, so for small stuff, this wouldn't bother me at all. Day-to-day stuff, no big deal whatsoever. And think about how much that change jar of yours is going to be filling up at home, right, Anna? But when you're talking about major purchases, you're going to go out, you're going to buy a television, you're going to buy a sofa or something like that. The thought of going to the bank, getting $2,000 out of the bank to go do something like that seems crazy to me.
Thomas disagrees. He says that that's how he spends money. He thinks that they are going to steal his identity. He says it's a trap using credit cards. He doesn't want to use a debit card. It's all tracking him. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hi, I'm actually on his side. I agree with her that that's very annoying that he doesn't use his credit card. But you know, live and let live. Like, if that's what he's comfortable doing, let him do it. He's not forcing her to pay cash. And she should be happy that he's not running up a credit card bill all the time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. They say cash is king, but is that really true anymore? Joan is upset that her husband, Thomas, she believes, is stuck in the past times and only uses cash everywhere they go.
Yeah, Thomas makes all his major purchases, big ones, small ones, all that too. It doesn't matter if it's dinner with friends, going to the gas station or whatever. He's always using cash. Only has one credit card, hardly ever uses it.
Do you think that it's outdated that he does this and that he should kind of join modern times? Or is he right? It's when he uses credit cards, he's just putting himself out there for identity theft and who knows what else. Hi, it's Anna and Raven, Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, only because when did paying cash become an issue? When you go to a restaurant now, the restaurant charges you to use your card. I'm not going to give the restaurant an extra $3 to pay for my meal.
Well, I would check your regulations, ma'am, because in a lot of states, that's actually illegal.
And I have never been asked to pay more money to use a card. Never. Yeah. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am 100% on his side, because I just feel like carrying cash... like he said, if his car breaks down and he needs to give someone $20 to jumpstart it, he will always have that security of not needing the time to go to the bank or not needing to use a card or process a card. Cash is quick.
I can't think of a single car repair that would only cost me $20. And if I got to pay somebody to jump my car... like, you're a jerk. If you got jumper cables and I'm going to pay you to jump it, you're a jerk.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on his side. I mean, you know something? It makes him feel better to pay this way. It's not costing them any more. It's actually costing them maybe a little less because some places start to charge more with a credit card. So what does she care if he's carrying around the cash? I'm definitely on his side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Thomas, our audience agreed with you. If you're comfortable doing it, then go for it.
Thank you. I just don't see why this is such a big deal.
Because it's not where we're living now. It's time to sort of modernize, and it's okay to like enjoy the new technology that we have because it's there to help us.
I do agree with you, Joan, that I think it's only a matter of time before a lot of places will become cashless. I really do believe that. We're starting to see it slowly, but I think it's only a matter of time. So I think he's not going to have a choice eventually anyway.
On the other hand, fear of mugging, I don't think, should stop you from doing what you feel safe doing, Thomas, anyways, to protect yourself. I mean, if you get mugged, the biggest thing you should be worried about is your life, not the cash, right? So, you know, that's not really a big deal.
No, not to me.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Deirdre, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
Sure. Good luck.
All right, Deirdre, we got $300 on the line here. Here's how it's going to work. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, $300 in your pocket. Ready?
Yep.
Number 1, Colin Jost confirmed that his wife, Scarlett Johansson, was pregnant on Sunday. And yesterday, they announced that she had welcomed a baby boy named Cosmo. She's currently suing Disney for breach of contract over the release of what movie?
Oh, I don't know.
That's okay. Number 2, Kendall Jenner posted an Instagram pic of her wearing her boyfriend Devin Booker's Olympic gold medal. For what sport did Devin Booker win an Olympic gold medal?
Swimming.
Number 3, a new study says that men have a biological clock too, and fertility drops at the age of 50. What male celebrity welcomed twins with his wife Amal when he was 56 years old?
Alice Baldwin.
Number 4, Tom Hanks' new sci-fi movie Finch finally has a new release date on Apple TV. It's going to be on November 5th. What 1980s sitcom did Tom Hanks star in as part of a duo?
Oh, my God, we need to dress up as women. Oh, my God.
Time's up, Deirdre. You are right. They did just dress up as women. Number 5, MasterCard is getting rid of the magnetic strip on their cards as of 2029. The slogan associated with MasterCard is, there are some things money can't buy. What's the next line?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven in. Deirdre, you may have been, I don't want to be mean, but that might have been the worst that we've ever had.
What happened?
I know. And you know what? I'm driving in my car, and I always want to play this, and I just...
Here's the good news. You played.
How'd she do?
She didn't get any right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right, let's see how I do.
Number 1, Colin Jost confirmed that his wife, Scarlett Johansson, was pregnant on Sunday. And yesterday, they announced they had a baby boy named Cosmo.
Wow, that happened quick.
I know. She is currently suing Disney for breach of contract over the release of what movie?
Black Widow.
Yes. Number 2, Kendall Jenner posted an Instagram pic of her wearing her boyfriend Devin Booker's Olympic gold medal.
Must
for
be
what
nice.
sport For what sport did Devin Booker win an Olympic gold medal?
He's a basketball player.
That's right. Okay. Number three, a new study says that men have a biological clock, too, and fertility drops at 50. What male celebrity welcomed twins with wife Amal when he was 56 years old?
George Clooney.
Yes.
They really live better than us.
Number four, Tom Hanks' new sci-fi movie Finch finally has a new release date. It's going to be on Apple TV November 5th.
Okay.
What 1980s sitcom did Tom Hanks star in as part of a duo?
He was in Bosom Buddies.
That's right.
Bosom Buddies.
That's a throwback. That's a hard one to remember.
That's a tricky one.
Number five, MasterCard is getting rid of the magnetic strip on their cards as of 2029. The slogan associated with MasterCard is, there are some things money can't buy. What's the next line?
For everything else, there's MasterCard.
That's right. Deidre, he beat you 5-0 this morning. But you know what? You got to play and you get an Anna and Raven t-shirt. Tomorrow, you'll have your chance at $400.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.